Letterman Row is back. It is the final position week of the summer. It is officially the preseason. I've got the preseason magazines. I've got the preseason reading material. We're getting ready to head to Big Ten Media Days, but we can't do that without wrapping up our position weeks at Letterman Row with Tim May, the 41-year vet, with Andy Backstrom, and me, Spencer Holbrook. We are here to talk about the Ohio State cornerbacks room, BIA, best in America. Quite literally, they were the best in the country last year. Number one pass defense in America. Denzel Burke returns. Davidson Igbinosin returns. Jordan Hancock returns. Everyone who saw significant time behind them returns. Tim, I don't really know how else to put it here. This group is loaded and doesn't look to be going anywhere anytime soon. It's a pretty great position to be in if you're Ohio State and if you're Tim Walton.
I would think there's nothing better in modern day defenses. I'm just throwing that out because we're talking about cornerbacks, but I would think there'd be very few things that would be better, more comforting for a defensive coordinator than to have both starters back at cornerback, experienced starters at cornerback. And actually these guys are pretty stellar cornerbacks in Denzel Burke and Davidson Igbinosin, and then have the backup crew like they've got, especially Jermaine Matthews. We shouldn't go more than a minute deep into this without mentioning that young man's name, because I think he could be starting a lot of places this fall. But there are a few things that warm your heart more than having a couple of guys you think you can put out there on islands and then play defense with those nine other guys and play games, et cetera. And, of course, I'm not even talking about a slot cornerback yet, like Jordan Hancock, who, in my opinion, could be playing a lot of places too. It's just a regular cornerback. But that's my answer is this is one of those moments in time in modern major college football where you've got four guys, including Jordan Hancock, who could play a lot of places.
Yeah, Andy, we'll get into the depth, but this starting lineup, I mean, we can't just say, well, the starters are set, we don't need to talk about them. It's a special group, and I think Ohio State fans in particular should really take a long, deep look at this room and show some appreciation, because you don't get this kind of talent assembled all together at the top of the depth chart too often.
Well, hat tip to Tim Walton for giving these guys like an opportunity to come back and also just developing them to the point that they're at right now. Denzel Burke's going to be a fourth-year starter. I mean, that's really rare at Ohio State for any position, and especially at cornerback, where they can make a lot of money in the NFL. And Denzel Burke probably could have been like a second round pick last year, but he wants to be a top 10 pick. So he's back trying to be the number one corner in five NFL draft class. And then, you know, Davidson Igbinosin's a 2-year starter at this point. Yeah, started last year at Ohio State, but started at Ole Miss the year before that as a true freshman for 10 games. So he's got a lot of experience. I think he's one of the best run defending corners in the Big Ten, and certainly probably that most physical corner on Ohio State's roster. And then Jordan Hancock, you guys have mentioned it, but just truly broke out in that nickel role last year, slid inside. And you know, Ryan Day said that they kind of recruited him to be a nickel, or at least with the, you know, possibility of him sliding inside at some point. And he did that last season. And really after the Lathan Ransom injury at Wisconsin, you really saw Jordan Hancock just take off. He was always around the ball. You know, I wrote a story for LettermanRow.com this week about how, you know, Jordan Hancock pretty much was in position to have a takeaway for like four straight weeks, forced a fumble at Wisconsin, had an interception against Rutgers that turned that game around, had, you know, a dropped interception that might have been a pick six against Michigan State, and had another pick that he took 40 yards back against Minnesota. So just really a lot of talent across the board. And we have to mention Lorenzo Styles Jr. is also in this group as another upperclassman. There's four upperclassmen on scholarship at cornerback going into this season. Just 2 years ago, in the first year of Jim Knowles' system, Tim Walton being there in 2022, there was only one upperclassman scholarship on quarterback, upperclassman cornerback and scholarship, and that was Cameron Brown. So really just a change in experience, whereas the wide receiver group is a little bit less experienced this time around. The cornerback group has all the experience in the world.
Yeah, like you said, you don't get a Denzel Burke very often, a four-year starter. You don't get a guy like a Davidson Igbinosin, who I think still has a little bit of room to grow, but was third on the team in tackles last year, is a I like to refer to him as a bulldog, just like, you know, that's a guy who is just going to stick his nose anywhere and make a play. 59 tackles a year ago, still doesn't have an interception in his career, which I think is interesting, but a lot of passes deflected. I think he had, let me make sure I'm correct on the stats here. I think he had 5 of them last year. Yeah, he had 5 pass breakups last year, 2 fumble recoveries, like just has a nose for the football without getting his hands on the football. It's kind of a weird thing, but you know, you combine Burke and Igbinosin and you're set there. Jordan Hancock last up until, and we talked about this before we hit record here, Andy. Jordan Hancock up until August 15th was slated to be the outside starter alongside Denzel Burke and be one of the outside cornerbacks. So he can play inside and out. Then you look, Jermaine Matthews took reps at slot corner, aka the nickel, this spring to get him ready for a potential nickel role. Oh, by the way, he was really good on the outside last year, the top-ranked PFF true freshman cornerback that returns this year. So the top of this depth chart with those 4 guys, and I think Hancock can play outside, so you give him a nod inside and outside. Jermaine Matthews can play inside and outside. So you've got 4 guys that I would say are at the top of this depth chart. And then the depth comes into play, and maybe even more impressive than what Tim Walton's doing as far as the top of the depth chart is the building of the depth chart behind them. Tim has been incredible, and I will obviously let you get to your favorite name on this roster to kick off that depth.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Calvin Simpson Hunt. He's from Waxahachie, Texas. I drove through his hometown after the Cotton Bowl last year. I was going down to visit my baby brother, who's 66 years old, Tony May, down at his weekend ranch in LaGrange, but drove 35 east south. You got to be in Dallas to understand that, the Metroplex, and decided to drive through Waxahachie, which used to be big as nothing way back when I was growing up in East Texas, but definitely lives and breathes high school football there. And Calvin Simpson Hunt is one of their favorite sons. And just to kind of get a feel from where he's from, if you follow my drift, but this is a guy, like I said, everybody we've talked about so far, including Calvin Simpson Hunt, could be playing a lot of places right now, but they're at Ohio State. This is a moment in time when it comes to this roster overall and this cornerback roster in particular. And I really like the strides that I understood he made in the spring and just adds to the depth there, no matter who you put him behind, I think, either whether it's Igbinosin or Denzel Burke, whoever you're trying to give a spell to there during a game. So that's where it is. And then, you know, and this, it's really funny because everybody jumped on, and I don't blame them, jumped on Ryan Day referring to Caleb Downs as possibly getting some touches on offense this year when he was talking to us about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, give us a little taste of things back in June. And it kind of went over some people's heads, the fact he said Lorenzo Styles Jr. might get a little bit of a look again at wide receiver, where he played at Notre Dame, because the wide receiver room, as you guys have pointed out, especially you, Spence, from a numbers of players who have played yet, is kind of a sparse number right now going into this season, although we know the talent, the overall talent in that room is off the chart. But the wide receiver room, or excuse me, the cornerback room and the safety room could provide some emergency depth other places. But yeah, this is an interesting moment when you talk about 3 corners being on the field a lot for Ohio State, and all 3 of the starting guys in that group are without a doubt talented.
Yeah, Andy, it's funny because I keep saying that this is an Urban Meyer roster in a Ryan Day outfit because of the athleticism. And I think that nowhere else is that more apparent than a corner, because like he said, Lorenzo can play offense. The athletes that they have on the field at corner are just incredible. And Calvin Simpson Hunt might be the best of all of them athletically. This is a track star from Texas. Like, you talk about high school football in Texas, high school track in Texas. He's a track star. I would expect to see him a lot on special teams. Calvin Simpson Hunt might be a superstar on special teams this year. And another guy that I think will get...
Wait, let me interrupt. I don't want to brag about my man too much. I'm glad you did that, Spencer.
another guy that I think could be a special team superstar because of his athleticism, the way he's built, on his way to becoming a contributor for this defense. And I've even put on the Letterman Lounge message board, could be a star eventually on this defense, is Aaron Scott Jr. Yeah. And a kid that Ohio State beat out Michigan for from Springfield, really considered Michigan. Tim Walton gets the job done. From what we understand, he started just like Jermaine Matthews did in the spring, a little slowly, got his rear end chewed a little bit there by the coaching staff at the very beginning of spring. And then by the end of spring, he looked like Jermaine Matthews did last year at the end of spring. So I'm excited to see what Aaron Scott Jr. can do as a true freshman as well, Andy.
Talk about a commitment announcement, by the way. Just incredible. Spencer, you were there for that, I think, along with Matt Parker from Letterman Row. And, you know, just pulling out the backpack, the Michigan backpack, and then, you know, unveiling the Ohio State road jersey in homage to Braxton Miller, another Springfield, Ohio native. Yeah. Just theatrics, confidence, though. And that's what you need in spades to play cornerback, and especially at Ohio State. I mean, those guys are talkers. Denzel Burke's a talker. Davis Igbinosin's a talker. You know, like they all know how to talk their talk and back it up with their play on the field. And Aaron Scott seems to fit that mold quite well. In the spring game, you mentioned, Spencer, he had, you know, two pass breakups, four solo tackles, almost had an interception off his classmate Julian Sayin. And you know, he was kind of just around the field and was really noticeable. And he's super long. I mean, he's only listed at 6 foot, but he feels longer than that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if his wingspan is pretty lengthy. And that kind of shows up when you watch him on the field. And, you know, he's a gamer too. Like, he played some quarterback as a senior in high school at Springfield just to help the team out, reach the state title game.
Wait a minute, what are you saying here? What are you about to say here?
Hey, no, I'm not saying you should play quarterback. I'm just saying okay. The athleticism point that we were talking about. But really go across the board, like Bryce West, he didn't play a lot in the spring. He was kind of sidelined, but he was another track star at Glenville in Cleveland there. I think yep. He ran like a 10.57 in the 100-meter dash as a junior. So, like, talk about track speed. He's got it as well, and that comes into play for special teams, as you mentioned, Spencer. And then Miles Lockhart, I think, is one of the more intriguing players in this cornerback group because he's probably the next guy up at nickel, at least if you ask Jordan Hancock. That's who he says will potentially replace him at some point, you know, down the road. And, you know, Miles Lockhart's only 5'9", but he's 193 pounds and he packs a punch. He averaged like more than 7 yards per carry as a running back in high school. He's from Chandler, Arizona, out west. And he also on the other side of the ball was quite a good tackler. So he's someone that pops off the page for me too, watching in spring. They all early enrolled, and I think that's all going to be helpful for their development.
Yeah, I look at this corner room and everybody likes to say, well, who's he remind you of? And you know, Denzel Burke, since his freshman year, I've always said, I think not just because of the name, but I always thought that he reminded me of Denzel Ward. A top 200 guy, but not a top 50 guy, a guy who just comes in, works hard, gets a little bit of playing time early in his career, and then ends up being a superstar. It's kind of lined up that way. Aaron Scott Jr., and I've never used this comparison because I think he's the best of all of them that we've seen at Ohio State. Aaron Scott Jr. at 6'5", Jeff Okuda was 6'1", with those really long arms, and was just disruptive even in route concepts because of the length that he has. The arm length and the height and the progression, you know, in the cornerback, you know, play to play. Aaron Scott Jr. reminds me a little bit of what we saw early in Jeff Okuda's career. And I don't know if he's going to develop into a top five pick. That's a little lofty, especially for a true freshman to be saying that about. But just the way he's built and the way he kind of looks on the field as a freshman, it's got a little bit of that Jeff Okuda sense to me. And so I've really got my eye on Aaron Scott Jr. And then, like you said, Andy, like Miles Lockhart, super underrated. Ohio State targeted him as a nickel. They recruited him as a nickel. He's not going to be asked to play on the outside. He's going to be developed as a nickel. And so you wonder, Tim Walton gets his hands on him as a nickel, how good he could be in that role, Tim. Tim Walton seems to know what he's doing in picking guys off the recruiting trail and figuring out exactly where they're going to fit into this thing before they even get on campus. And I think that says really good things about the future of this room too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it adds, it adds more grease to the rails from the standpoint of this still being probably a 4-2-5 defense. You know, yeah. I mean, there was I'm talking about the Jim Knowles vaunted 4-2-5 defense, but in the sense that they've got five DBs, that they can put on the field and play with anybody. And then on top of that, some backups for those guys, which really fit the niche on what they're looking for from that nickel corner. Because we always know, you know, the so much of modern college football, just like in the NFL, is a matchup game where the offense is trying to get some kind of advantage, whether it's on the guy in the slot, trying to mess with defenses on how they line up, et cetera, and mixing and matching who they actually end up with in the slot. When you've got guys that are just all around big-time athletes, which Ohio State seems to have right now at that slot cornerback position, it just changes a lot of things for you in the terms of you're not going to dictate to me, we're going to dictate to you. And you're right about Miles Lockhart. You know, and here we are, we're gushing about these guys, and justifiably so to a certain extent, or gush-defiably so in a certain extent. But some things you'd like to see definitely improve. For example, with Davison Igbinosin, he's enough of a physical presence. He doesn't need to be using his hands. You know, you hope he's worked on that. The instead of the liberal use of his hands, the more conservative use of his hands in terms of coverage and things, because he can, what I call, mirror anybody. So can Denzel Burke. They can both mirror, means you make this move, I make that move. Like Denzel Ward is so damn good at, and was good at Ohio State, is especially his last season at Ohio State. You know, if they can keep their hands off of some of these wide receivers or receivers and play almost, you know, penalty free, this could be a really great unit.
Yeah, Andy, anything else to add on this unit before we get out of here and get on to Big Ten Media Days?
Well, Davison Igbinosin, just a stat that I loved from last year. He was targeted 71 times. No one else was targeted more than 48. Like, teams picked on him. They really did. Like, he did give up 5 touchdowns, which is more than anyone else. But, like, he only gave up 36 receptions, which is so about, like, half the time he was targeted, he gave up a catch, which is, it's a really good reception percentage allowed. Yeah. So, like, they picked on him, but he held up. And I think, you know, with the Okuda comparisons, like, I know a lot were thrown out even with him, with the length and the physicality that he had last year. I think that for me, the big improvement needs to be takeaways. And, you know, maybe we'll get into this in our bold prediction video, but just like, I think, you know, the fact that they only had 11 takeaways last year, which I've tweeted this out, I've written about it, but I still don't think it gets enough attention. That's the fewest they've had in a season this entire century. 11 takeaways. They had 12 in 2005. But like, if you look back in 2014, when they won a national title, they had 33. Okay. Like, you need way more than they had last year to be an elite defense. And I think that showed up at times. Like, if you're Ryan Day and you're saying, hey, we want to win the turnover battle against Michigan, that's one of the two keys to beating Michigan, then you need to do that consistently week in and week out. They only did that 4 times last year, winning the turnover battle, and twice was against non-power conference competition of those 4 times. So you need to find ways to create more takeaways. And Denzel Burke talked about how, like, with the safeties back there with Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom, that gives them maybe a little bit more insurance to take more risks, to jump more routes. But, like, you need to strike the balance between not giving up the 40-plus yard plays, which they did a really good job last year, but also creating more disruption and more takeaways than they did last year.
Folks, that's the reason why I just went straight to Andy after Tim spoke, because I knew Andy was going to talk about takeaways, because he's been talking about it all offseason, because that's where we've been beating the drum. Like, it is a real thing. They've got to take the ball away more. I think, you know, finally they got off the schneid last year. The corners had an interception, which they didn't have in 2022. But under Tim Walton, the corners now have, if you include Jordan Hancock, 4 interceptions. 4. 2 of them came in non-conference games. So they're not turning teams over enough in the Big Ten. And I think that can be alleviated by an aggressive defense this year with all of the pieces back, including all of the corners back.
So that should be the fans out there who are watching this. That should be their primary takeaway from this video.
Yeah, Tim, I guess you could say that. I should have seen that coming. And what everyone else should see coming is bold predictions. We'll do that on Friday about this cornerback room. The bold predictions for the cornerback room should be very fun, maybe a little spicy, and maybe a little contentious. We'll talk about that. Maybe Andy will say that one of the corners is going to play offense like he did last week with safety. Before we get to that video, we'll be at lettermanrow.com breaking down the entire cornerbacks room. Tim made the 41-year bet. His content resides there. Andy Backstrom, his content resides there. Me, Spencer Holbrook, heading to Indy next week. Don't miss out on all that coverage of Big Ten Media Days. Go to lettermanrow.com right now. Get two months for your first 2 months for $1. Your first 2 months for $1 when you use the code OSU1. Come join the fun. Letterman Row is growing every single day. It's like a weed. We're growing like a weed. Until we see you over there at lettermanrow.com and we see you back here on Friday for bold predictions. I'm just Spencer. That's Andy. That's Tim. We'll see you guys back on Friday. We'll see you over at lettermanrow.com.